is produced by the Living Church of God.
What is your future job, really? If you were a Christian, what should you look forward to doing for the next 1,000 years? That's a long time, but the Bible talks about it specifically. Are you going to be rolling around heaven all day? Think about it. No way! Your Bible doesn't say that. The absolutely guaranteed job for all true Christians will be far more exciting than most people even imagine. So you think about it. This is for real. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith asks, what is your future job? And now, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
When I grew up in a mainstream Protestant church, I was taught that Christians go to heaven when we die, with nothing to do. Absolutely nothing. Just sitting around heaven, enjoying, you know, nothing. How boring, you say. Well, that's true. It probably would be boring. But that is not what your Bible says, my friends, for your Bible specifically describes a challenging and exciting career for all true Christians in tomorrow's world, a literal world-ruling government that is coming back here. And as prophetic events move swiftly toward that future will be soon. Just what is the job that God has for Christians? Will it really be interesting? And how should you prepare for it, you personally? Please, folks, think about it. For your own good, believe what your Bible actually says. Go get your Bible. Don't just believe me. I don't ask you to do that. You believe what you read in the pages of your own Bible. Let's turn now to Matthew 4, verse 23. Now, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. This is the gospel Jesus always preached. A kingdom. The word kingdom means government. He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. And throughout the entire New Testament, we find Christ preaching and Paul and Peter and James and John preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And we find many, many references in the gospels and the book of Acts, elsewhere, and all through the Old Testament about a coming literal world-ruling government to be set up on this earth, and that will be called the kingdom of God. It's not something set up in your heart. It's not some sentimental nothing. It is a real government. Christ is coming as King of Kings, and he's going to rule this earth and straighten out the problems right here where the problems are. Turn to Mark chapter 1, if you would. Mark chapter 1 in your New Testament, beginning in verse 14. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel, or the good news, of the kingdom of God. He was saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent means to change. Repent means to turn around and go the other way and get your mind all straightened out. Most people aren't willing to do that. They want to just keep right on believing what they've always believed, and they don't want to change. But repent means to be sorry for past mistakes or misunderstandings or wrongdoings and turn and change. Repent and believe the gospel. That's what your Bible says. Now let's go on. Acts 1, verse 1, if you would. The former account, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach. You see, the Gospels told about what Jesus began to do and teach, and the book of Acts shows how Jesus continued to lead his church and guided and inspired the apostles to preach the truth and to do the work until the day in which he was taken up after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles he'd chosen. And so it says a little later here, therefore, when they came together, the apostles, in verse 6, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They'd been taught and understood, at least, that there was a literal government to be set up. And they thought it was going to be right away, and Christ would kick out the Roman armies and set up a government here on this earth. And so they said, will you do that right now? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. If the kingdom of God was just a warm feeling in your heart, if the kingdom of God is just the church, or God working among all men of goodwill to somehow bring about a better society, Jesus would have said so. But he didn't say that, did he? Ever. And they said, well, when are you going to restore the kingdom? Is it going to be now? He didn't say, oh, you have a misunderstanding. No, he just showed them the time is not now. You don't understand the time. There was going to be a real government set up. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you and be my witnesses. Finally, this great rock was to come, Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God, a government to straighten things out here on this earth. That was Christ's message of the coming government of God. Notice the very end of Paul's ministry, Acts 28 and beginning in verse 30. Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all that came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, lots of preachers go around preaching about Jesus Christ, and that's all they talk about. And frankly, they don't even have that straight. They talk about his person, but they deny his message. But Paul talked about the kingdom of God and those things concerning Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. True Christians will literally rule over the cities on this earth, my friends. There will be a great need for this. Think of the starvation and suffering and distress experienced all over this earth. Think about it. People need to be helped. They've got to be helped. So the Christians in the resurrection from the dead, with Christ coming back as King of Kings, are going to have that opportunity. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 2 and beginning in verse 26. Here is Jesus speaking in the first person. He who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Yes, as kings and rulers over the nations of this world. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the potter's vessel shall be broken in pieces, as I also have received from my Father. In other words, just as Jesus was given to be King of Kings, his servants, his true Christians, his true saints would also rule over the cities and nations of this earth. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21, Jesus says, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me, with Jesus Christ, on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So the true Christians will be there on this earth with Jesus Christ. Notice chapter 5 now, Revelation chapter 5, and it says in verse 9, they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. Jesus Christ was slain for all of us. And you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us, what? To roll around heaven all day? To sit doing nothing, playing harps or something like that? No! You've been deceived on that point, my friends. Please understand, that is not what your Bible says anywhere. It does not say that. That is wrong. That is totally unbiblical. It's silly, in fact. So think, be willing to open your mind. Here's what the Bible says. Christ has made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Not up in heaven, but here on this earth. And he says we're to be kings and priests, the true Christians. We're to help rule over the nations, but we're to be priests. And the priests in ancient Israel were the teachers, were to teach people the right way of life, not just rule over them, but to help them, to build them, to teach them the right way. At this point, my friends, I invite you to write for a very different explanation of the true gospel. This is not a lot of sentimental mush about just giving your heart to the Lord. This is going to tell you what is going to really happen. You need to understand what Christ's gospel was all about. And so write or call today. Request your free copy of our exciting booklet explaining your real future. This booklet is entitled, Do You Believe the True Gospel? this powerful booklet will take you far beyond just believing on the person of Jesus Christ. You'll gain insights you've never had before. It will explain the message Jesus brought to mankind and what it portends for you. So pick up the phone and ask for your free copy of our booklet on the true gospel. Just ask for the booklet on the true gospel. Call now.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Now back to our topic, what is your future job? What are you really going to be doing in tomorrow's world if you're a true Christian? Think about that. Turn to Luke 19 at this point. Luke 19, verse 11. Now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought that the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Just like we saw there in Acts, the first chapter. They thought Christ was coming right back or would stay there and kick the Roman armies out. That's what they thought. Therefore, Jesus said, a certain nobleman went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and a return. And nearly all scholars understand this is talking about Christ going to heaven to get the kingdom of God and coming back. And so he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas or measures of money, and said to them, do business till I come. But his citizens hated him, sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man reign over us. And so it was when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he'd given the money to be called that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. He wants to know, do we use our time? Do we use our talents? Do we use our resources? Do we use our abilities, everything we have, to help prepare for the kingdom of God? Are we growing? Are we overcoming? And so then the first man came saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. I've increased tenfold. This is what Jesus said. Well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. That's our job. That's what Jesus said. He said that. And the second came saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. And likewise he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. So again, true Christians are in training to be kings and priests in a coming government to be set up on this earth. That's what Jesus very clearly showed in this and in other parables and other teachings. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? How dare you go down the street, Paul is saying, before some worldly court when you have a dispute with someone else in the church? That's not right, because we're called to be rulers. We're called to make decisions like that. We're in training. True Christians, true Christians. Many Christians do not understand the truth, but true Christians are developing their talents and abilities toward this goal. And so you need to understand, if you want to live beyond this life, if you want to be in this coming kingdom of God, get ready. Think about it. Open your eyes. Open your ears. Open your mind. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If we're going to be ruling over 5 cities or 10 cities or whatever, we've got to learn judgment, don't we? Now let's turn to verse 4. If you then have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? Why do you go to outsiders, mainly to people that don't even understand the truth, that may not even be professing Christians? I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you, not even one who will be able to judge between his brethren? So we need to understand, my friends, we're called to be kings and priests and judges and rulers and help govern and help people straighten out their problems here on this earth. That's what true Christians are training to do now. Are you training to do that? If not, why not? What Bible do you follow? What do you read in your Bible? Doesn't it say what I've been reading? Yes, it does. Turn now, if you would, to Revelation 19. And in verse 11, John writes, describing this great vision, "Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire." Christ is pictured with total power. He is not just some wimp that goes around saying, "Please give your heart to the Lord." That's not the true Christ of the Bible. Here is the true Christ sitting at the right hand of God, planning with the Father to come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to straighten out the problems here on earth. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head many crowns. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. It says down here in verse 16, he had on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then as you'll see, as you read, it describes how he and his angels are going to grab the coming beast, the coming Hitler to rise up in Europe, and the false prophet, and throw them into the lake of fire. And in Revelation chapter 20, continuing right on, a great angel grabs hold of this terrible Satan, who's been behind this whole system, and throws him into a bottomless pit and shuts him up so he should deceive the nations no more. And then in verse 4, John continues, Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, "And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given unto them. I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the witness of Jesus and the Word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image." They had not followed this false system and these very powerful charismatic leaders who were going to rise up, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The true saints of God are to live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Notice verse 6. "Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection," when Christ comes to this earth, of course. "Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Picture the city of Jerusalem with Christ in charge. He's going to come back to the Mount of Olives and set up a great kingdom and a big throne right at Jerusalem. What kind of government will be there? Christ will be King of Kings, but he has other kings under him, of course. Let's turn back here. The Old Testament lets us know about the top king under Jesus Christ. Notice he may have Abraham and others as powerful leaders and administrators, but at least the top king, or one of the top kings, will be King David, believe it or not. Turn back to Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 21. "Then say to them, Thus says the Eternal God, Surely I will take the children of Israel," not just Judah or the Jews, but all the peoples of Israel, "from among the nations where they've gone, and gather them from every side, and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation." The Jews and the Israelites will again become one people, and they'll know who they are. And most Israelites don't even know who they are today. "I'll make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king over them all. And they shall no longer be two nations, nor be divided into two kingdoms again." And he says in verse 24, "My servant David shall be king over them." King David of ancient Israel resurrected and put over all 12 nations of Israel. "And they shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes. Then they shall dwell in the land that I gave to Jacob, my servant, where your fathers dwelt. And they shall dwell there, and their children and their children's children. Moreover, my servant David shall be their prince forever." Yes, David will be king. So you have an organization here. You have Jesus Christ as King of Kings, and then King David over the 12 nations of Israel. Why? Why would King David be in charge? Well, frankly, because he did this job faithfully, more faithfully than any other man, for 40 years. He had a lot of training in that job. He did a wonderful job, and so God's going to put him right back in that job again when Jesus Christ returns as King of Kings. Notice now Luke 22, beginning in verse 28. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials, and I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So King David will be under Christ, the 12 apostles will be under him, and then the saints of God will be helping rule the whole earth under the government of Jesus Christ. A specific plan for world government and peace is in place. Do you want to be part of that plan? Do you want to be part of the plan of your God revealed clearly in the Bible? Again, be sure to call or write immediately and request your free copy of our exciting booklet explaining your real future. This booklet is entitled, Do You Believe the True Gospel? It will be sent absolutely free upon your request, my friends. No cost, no obligation. So pick up the phone and call now. Just ask for the free booklet on the true gospel. That's all you need to do. Just ask for the booklet on the true gospel.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
My friends, prophesied world events are definitely speeding up. The government of God really will be set up on this earth, and soon. The Apostle James tells us to act upon the truth. Notice what James writes in your New Testament. Let's turn there. This is a message from God and a message for you at this time. James chapter 1 and beginning in verse 22. God tells us, Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Don't just hear this message, folks. Don't just listen and then go do nothing. Act on the truth. You need to do that. I hope with all my heart more of you will learn to act on the truth of God for your good. Do what God says. Don't be afraid to obey your Creator. For if anyone here is a hearer of the word and not a doer, James writes, he is like a man observing his face in a mirror. He observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Well, you look in the Bible, you see things that are wrong with your life, wrong with your understanding, wrong with your beliefs. Do you do anything about it? James says, But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, the law God gives us here in the New Testament, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So if you would like, of course, to act on the truth, you need to do things. And frankly, if you would like to meet with one of our representatives, one of our ministers that we have in various places all over this world, act now. Many of you would like to know what's behind this work. You'd like to ask questions. Do that. Give us a call. Just give the operator that will answer on this number on your screen. Just give the operator your phone number slowly and clearly so they can hear and understand. And tell them that you would like a call, that you would like a visit. Ask for counseling. No one will come and call on your door unless you request it. They don't even know where you live. You just give them your phone number, and they will call you on the phone and make an appointment with you at your convenience, And then you will be able to ask questions about this work, about the Bible, or about other things that you want to know about the truth and about the meaning of life. I guarantee you that no one will press you to buy anything or do anything whatsoever. In fact, we have nothing for sale ever. But please call if you would like a visit from one of our representatives. And again, call or write to request your free booklet that we have here for you. Do you believe the true gospel? Ask for the booklet on the true gospel. This is a wonderful booklet, not just talking sentiment, but talking about the things this program is talking about and going in greater detail about it. Tune in every week to Tomorrow's World television program, because every week Richard Ames and I give you various aspects of the truth of what's happening in world events, things you don't get from any other source, prophetic events leading to the end of this age and the reign of Jesus Christ on this earth. This, in that way, should be to you the most exciting thing you have going, because it talks about things you don't know anything about, most of you. You need this truth. We're here as the servants of the great God to give you understanding. Understanding of this book, the Bible. Back in the Bible itself, in Luke chapter 4 and verse 4, Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Are you willing to live by every word of God? Are you willing to open your mind and heart and do what your Creator says? That's all we want you to do. We're the servants of the living God, the Creator and Governor of the heavens and the earth, to bring you a message that you're probably not getting anywhere else. And we preach to you out of this book. We quote verses out of this book. We show you what this book means and give you a chance to check up. I've heard so many other preachers on radio and television says, "The Bible says." They'll hold up the Bible, and if the Bible says, we all go to heaven. Well, the Bible does not say that. And I've offered $1,000 in the past, for years, on anyone, on a radio program and television, anyone who can prove that the Bible says that heaven is the reward of the Christian. It does not say that. It's not there. But they'll say, "The Bible says." Well, we give you the Scriptures. We try to prove to you the purpose of the great God that He is working out here below. So tune in every week, and you'll understand that purpose in a way you can't get, and giving you understanding you can't get anywhere else. So be sure you tune in every week and check up on us. Get your Bible. Follow us along as we tell you to do. And I just wanted to tell you a little bit more about that at the end of this program. You need, as James says, to act on the truth. Be sure you act. Be sure you do. And tune in every week to Tomorrow's World program. And if you can, get your Bible, follow us, check up on us, write for the literature, check up on it, and you will find that you are in touch with people who truly explain the Bible. So tune in to Tomorrow's World each week, and Richard Ames and I will give you understanding that you cannot get from any other source. See you right here next week.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free if you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. We invite you to visit our webpage at tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.